This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast. Radiothon is now on and we need your support. This is our one time a year that we ask you to support Joy so we can continue being a voice for the LGBTI community of Melbourne and beyond. By becoming a member, renewing your membership, or donating to Joy, you will keep out loud and proud LGBTI voices on air and on podcast. And around 50 volunteers work hard around the clock to make them available. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Then we hope you head to joy.org.au to find out how you can support us this radiothon. We still need Joy. Your voice. Your radio station.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
And we have a special guest.
We certainly do. Everybody knows
Not
him,
that
of course.
Special.
Everybody knows who this is. Say something.
It's lovely to be with you, Macca.
There you go. It's Dean Beck.
There you go.
And Dean. You too, Taz.
Nice to have you in the studio.
It's great to be here.
I don't think I've done this with you before, actually.
Haven't we?
Or radio.
I've interviewed you, but maybe you haven't.
Oh, yes, you have, actually. Yeah. We've never done it as a sharing the microphone.
Right. Interesting. Well, there you go. Well, I'm your guest, so it's great to be with you.
Now, while we were off here, you said something about an incident that occurred during the week. What was that?
Well, the Purple Bombers held their annual Idahot dinner on, cocktail party Wednesday night in celebration of Idahot Day.
Who are the Purple
Bombers? They're the fan club for the Essendon Footy Club.
Oh, right.
Led by Jason Twison McSheen. And they had a great panel. Kevin Sheedy was on it. Nova Paris was on it. Matt Hall.
It's a bit of a star-studded guest list.
It was a great night. Sheeds had seemed to enjoy the corporate hospitality somewhat, to say the very least.
Right.
And whilst he was very supportive of our endeavours and said that we were nice people because there were less of us in jail than there were our heterosexual people. So that was good. But the best thing gay guys ever did was bring in the blood rule because they'd got two extra players on the interchange bench. And I thought that was a bit rough. So I had a little chat to him afterwards.
Mm.
And what did he say?
He meant it with all best intentions. But I did make it clear that, considering he had an out-positive person who'd been discriminated against by football on the panel in Matt Hall, I thought he could have been a bit more sensitive.
And fewer of us in jail.
Yes.
But the blood rule.
Two extra players.
But how patronising is all of that?
It was a little bit off, I thought.
A little bit?
Yeah. But that wasn't reported in The Age. They reported on the other things.
No, I suspect it's just a little bit too subtle for them. Or maybe not The Age. We expect a bit more from The Age, don't we? What's left of it anyway?
We should be focusing on the positive in this space. And,
yes.
And the fact that, Sheeds was pivotal to getting the Anzac match and also the Indigenous round. Without Sheeds, that wouldn't have happened. And so he lobbied for that. So we've probably got a bit to learn from him if we want to get a full round in the Pride space.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, I just have to read this message out. We spoke, and we'll get on to the other important issues really quickly, but I talked about this this little auction that's going on of a tour of Parliament by Fiona Patten. Yep. And, you get a bit of Terps and Tucker afterwards. So it's for you and a friend. And, she said she's going to show everyone all the little secret places. Neil Mitchell from the 3AW messaged in and he said, ask Fiona to show them the jail cell under Parliament. And Fiona, so I said to sent a message to Fiona. She said, yep, I'll certainly be showing the winner what's in all the drawers and cupboards in the basement and coal corridors. But there is a cell up at Parliament House, and no, it's not used, it's not a dark room, back room, but it used to store gold, didn't
That's
it,
right.
Tass?
That's
you know,
right.
When the
That's
parliament
right.
was built.
That's right.
So all
It's a level underneath the ground,
yeah.
or maybe a couple, and there's a corridor with a little train track, and that's the train track was used to actually store the gold
yeah.
and sort of move it down this track and then into one of these rooms, and you would bolt
and then lock
it shut.
It away. Yeah.
And it does look like a jail, but these days it just holds stationery.
They should make it the office for the DLP or something.
You do realise there's exactly the same thing in the basement of this building.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, Commonwealth
that.
Bank, of
yeah.
course.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
vaults
course.
Underneath us uh-huh. and caged, you know, lock away huge walls.
Oh, we need to go
thing.
And see we those. Can you organise it to a Macca?
Hey, Dolly Doyle, if you're listening, or someone, we need to go and have a look.
And directly underneath where you're sitting right now was the corporate offices for the bank, and there's like a ballroom area in front of that, which is behind us, which would have probably been the open plan office space. But we're talking about everything else.
That's
but
right, except what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, let's set the agenda for what we will talk about.
Why am I here
in
again?
In the next session. So, you know, we have run out of time because we've been crapping on.
But we have another session.
But we really do want to talk about what's happening in the HIV space. And, Dean, you've already signalled that there's a strategic plan on the horizon by the state government. There's another strategic plan by the federal government, but they can't work out what to call it.
Yes, they're having troubles working out whether they want to go down the traditional path or a new path.
All right, so I wouldn't mind unpacking what you expect to see from those when we get back from our short little break.
Sure.
In addition to that, you're arguing that what we need is to do some call-outs to the community to inform the community about PrEP, TASP, testing and so forth.
Certainly. We'll even Sheeds back. Quoted the Grim Reaper campaign the
there
other night.
There you go. And the other thing that you've argued for is a national testing week.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to unpack what that means and what you'd expect to see.
Sure.
And finally, you know, I'm not going to let you leave this studio till we've had a discussion about PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and why it's so far not on PBS.
Rightio.
Okay, I'm interested in your views on that.
Sure.
And why, you know, the various bodies, PBAC and the federal government, are actually resistant to actually putting it on PBS. So, Dean, we all know that PrEP is a tried, tested, true, very infective, once-a-day pill, keeps HIV away, treatment, preventative strategy. And, you know, more and more and more people are now actually, you know, on their own profiles describing, you know, what they're into, what they do, and also whether they are engaged in taking PrEP or not. So it's become a bit of a defining moment as well. But why is it that this is now still not publicly available?
Because HIV in this country is still a gay man's disease.
So?
Well, we've got a long history of inaction in much of the technological advancements in the HIV space, and we drag our feet because I think it's only really affects gay men in this country. Now, that's not true, as you know, and the largest percentage increase of new cases is amongst heterosexuals. But and that's going to become even more prevalent as PrEP starts to play out in so far as
in
new infections in the gay
yeah.
men's space.
Is it perhaps, Dean or Tass, is it perhaps that the pharmaceutical benefits scheme, the people who run that, but the, you know, the ministers, the health ministers, federally, don't think it's important, or that it doesn't matter?
Do you know what
or
really
Or there's no
upsets
votes
me?
In it?
We could have stopped all new infections in this country 4 years ago.
Mm.
We technically had the know-how.
Yeah. By rolling out
to
PrEP.
Make it happen.
Yeah. Yep.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And at a certain point in time, we've got to start making our politicians culpable for this, because the knowledge is there and it's there in action that is meaning new infections are taking place. Now, there's a lot of things that need to take place. Including testing. Mm. And that means normalising it. It means ensuring that everybody who needs to get tested is tested. There are still a big chunk of HIV-positive people in this country that don't know that they've got
it.
And have been living with it up to 5 or 6 years.
And this consistently comes out in the figures, doesn't it, Dean?
It does.
You know, where okay, how do you think you might have been exposed? And it's, you know, that people that are positive don't know because they haven't tested.
The thing is, we all know how people were exposed.
Oh, yes.
So the question's kind of irrelevant. What we need to do is get everyone tested that needs to be tested. We need to get everyone who's positive onto treatment. It'll protect their health and well-being and the greater health and well-being of the community. And we need those who feel that they need protection to be on PrEP, which is a far more effective preventative than condoms ever were.
Can I just ask a controversial question?
Sure.
What do you say to people, and I'm not one of them, but what do you say to people who say, why should I or why should the community pay for PrEP when that is there to protect, or that is, you know, that's going to protect you should you have unsafe sex?
I'll respond to that.
Okay.
Why should our community pay for contraception?
I agree.
Which can prevent the sequelae of an unwanted, unsafe sexual practice.
The difference being, if you have a mistake in that area, you can get it fixed. If you have a mistake in our area, HIV. You've got it for life.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, what do you say to people who say, why should the taxpayer pay for PrEP when the most effective way is to practice?
Because the taxpayer is going to be paying for the end result anyway.
I understand. Well, that's what I'm saying. What is the
taxpayer pays for this sort of thing anyway. It's called a public health measure.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It's a public health measure.
I just wanted to ask the question.
And look, it's cheaper in the long run. It's going to be cheaper in the long run.
So, Dean, tell us about home testing because, I mean, we seem to have come a long way. I recall, you know, in the early 80s, there was legislation that said that if you are going to test someone, you have to provide pre-counselling and post-test counselling, and you have to take it all very gently. Now we're advocating for the advent of home-based testing. So I could test myself at home. Is that how it works?
It's fair to say that an HIV-positive diagnosis is life-changing, but it's not the death sentence it once was.
Yes.
And so in that space, we need to remove the barriers that are there for people getting tested.
Yep.
And one of those is up to 2 weeks waiting time.
Yep.
So rapid testing was great. 10 years too late, but great.
Yep.
And home testing kits is another way to remove a barrier to be able to... And the testing kits that they're talking about are not the ones that give you a definitive diagnosis in your home. They're ones that you either send away for analysis and you get the results.
How soon would you get the results?
Oh, next couple of days.
But not soon enough to actually put yourself on PEP.
Well, if you're exposed to HIV, you've only got 72 hours anyway to get on PEP.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be using a home test kit in that sort of thing. For a start, your HIV antibodies wouldn't have started to produce, so that wouldn't be shown anyway.
Yeah. So if you think you've been exposed, go straight to the Alfred Hospital.
And if they give you a hard time and give you a lecture on morality, tell them to pull their head in, because I'm sick and tired of hearing stories of people going to access PEP at the Alfred and them being ridiculed. It's disgusting, and the medical staff there need to get their act together.
Have we provided feedback to the management of the Alfred?
We sure have.
And what's been the response to that?
It's, you know, going through their boards of committees and blah, 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 blah. But on page 17 of the guidelines for PEP and PrEP, it says, before reading any further, you should not discriminate in this space because it will mean that people won't access treatment, they won't get tested, they won't look after themselves. If you discriminate, they won't come back, they won't re-engage. And so it's just disgusting what goes on. Anyway, that's just, you know, another one of the barriers, isn't it?
Sure. So a National Testing Week, what would that do?
Normalise testing.
Hmm.
And, more importantly, it would, if you like, filter out all of those who are living with HIV and don't know it.
And encourage service providers to maybe drop some of their attitude and...
It would normalise HIV testing.
Yeah, yeah, great.
It would just become sort
of
standardised.
Good. So, look, because we're running out
of time...
We've
got 6 years of data in the UK to prove that a national testing week is so important.
Let's do it. Let's advocate for it. Let's start that in Victoria if we can't do it nationally.
I'm sure Charlie Pickering wouldn't mind being the face of it. He's a good guy. He'd be perfect for it.
Fantastic. Whoever he is, who is he?
Charlie Pickering. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
We get Chrissy Swan and Charlie Pickering to be the face of a national testing week and get, just normalise.
Get Kevin Sheedy to do it.
Get Sheets to do it. He'd be good for that.
Okay. Let's go sort of at a strategy level. What's happening in the strategy space? You've informed us that both feds and the state are actually developing their own strategies.
My concern is that they're out of sync, you know,
Do you think that our federal government's in sync with anybody?
Well, that's another argument and a different story, and I'm not going to be, you know, here on your Labor bandwagon. But what I do want to...
Hang on. Excuse me. What? Do you know we have had, in the last 12 months... I knew you were going to blurt something like that out. In the last 12 months, we have had more conservative politicians and voices on this show than left of centre.
That doesn't matter, Macca. Doesn't matter who you have in here.
It does matter.
Anyway,
it does.
We don't run a party political agenda in this studio. What we do run is a political agenda,
a policy agenda.
Sometimes that's difficult to differentiate. Nonetheless, I would like the federal and the state to be in sync, so that we could at least have a national cohesive response.
So, what would be the one, two, or three core things that you would like to see come out of that? If you had a magic wand,
PrEP approved, National Testing Week, and a national television and social media campaign to undo the damage of the Grim Reaper ad by informing all of Australia what the state of play is with HIV today, informing them that treatment as prevention means that person, if they're undetectable, cannot pass the virus on to anyone.
Mm.
And that would transform stigma in the HIV space as well.
Dean, tell us about the your podcasting, because you've been doing it 9 months or so?
Six months, I think. 6-9 months? We launched at the Adelaide conference, ASHAM, last November, I think it was. Inside HIV is a podcast series for positive people, and it is... not only profiling new and emerging leaders and some older people as well, and telling their story about resilience and living with HIV, but it also is an opportunity for us to get the latest information out there as well. I was invited by Professor Sharon Lewin to the International Conference of Immunology, and they had a great forum there, which formed a two-part series on HIV and ageing. So... And I've spoken to, lead researchers at the Kirby Institute as well. And so there's tremendous information on also what, I guess, the current state of play is within our community. Shannon Power did a fantastic vox pop at Midsummer, which was really telling as to the general knowledge of people regarding treatment as prevention. And
well, that actually goes... We have a question from a listener that actually that actually goes to that, Tess.
Yeah, the question's actually quite interesting. Our listener, 661, is asking for clarification that being on PrEP does not mean that barebacking becomes the norm and safe sex. So what he's really saying is that he's sick and tired of being told that by gay men who want to have sex because they're on PrEP, we don't need protection.
Here's the thing. If someone is on PrEP, they are actively taking responsibility for their own health and well-being, and it is as safe or safer regarding HIV, if taken according to directions, than condoms. But... it doesn't protect you from other sexually transmitted
syphilis,
STDs.
Gonorrhea, all of that. Crabs, warts,
all that.
Herpes,
all
correct.
That. Yep.
So if you want to be absolutely sensible and look after your entire health and well-being, look after that whole bag of tricks.
Yeah.
But if you want to protect yourself from HIV, it does that.
Yes.
So, Dean, where can people find your podcast?
Inside HIV.net, or you can get it on Apple Podcasts or through any podcasting app.
Good on you. Thank you very much, Dean. Always great to have a conversation with you.
I'll see Macca at the Candlelight Vigil tomorrow. Looking forward to
I'll see you there as well.
Yes. Cool. 5 o'clock tomorrow at Queensbridge Square. And where exactly is Queensbridge Square exactly?
I don't quite know, Macca.
I'm going to have to I know the vague area, but we're speaking anyway. We're speaking with Max Niggle from Living Positive shortly. So thanks for your efforts, Dean. Much appreciated. InsideHIV.net. Get those podcasts and have a listen.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.